This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
Scores!
Now. Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hour number two of Sports on a Sunday is underway here on News Radio 1120 KMOX. I'm Mike Kelly with you until 12 o'clock. We've got Cardinal baseball coming your way next hour. Our pregame show begins. A little bit later, we will visit with the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. We'll also hear from Washington University professor Patrick Risch during this hour. And we'll talk to Dennis Dodd about college football. What's going to happen with Urban Meyer? Other things to talk about with Dennis Dodd as we close out the show a little bit later today. But first, to begin things, we bring into the conversation Kyle McClellan, the former Cardinals pitcher, brought to you by Ameren of Illinois. Good morning, Mr. McClellan, freshly back on U.S. soil from Haiti.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing? Good to be back.
Yeah, I bet it is. And you've got a really cool fundraiser going on right now for your charity.
Yeah, we do. We're actually heading down there right now. A buddy of mine is a guy I played with in the minor leagues and now is the VP of First Form, and Supplement Superstore is involved in that here. They're doing a social media campaign called 30 for the Kids. And so the idea is for 30 days, we've been working out. You have one of four workouts to pick from, and you pay $30 to enter the challenge, and if you fail the workout that day, you pay a $5 penalty. And the whole idea is, while you're doing the workout, they're not easy, they're tough, but reflect on, you know, some of the things you have and how grateful we are, and some of the things that people go without. And so we're kind of working out for ourselves, but also for the kids in Haiti. All the money raised is going to that. So we have our last big workout today at Art Hill, and the family down to do a big group workout with everybody.
Well, while you've been doing a number of things for other people over the last couple of days, I know you've been paying attention to this ball game, this ball team from afar. 10 of the last 11 games the Cardinals have won. They're 14-3 in the month of August, and now 12 games over the 500 mark. Kyle McClellan.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, you know, the starting pitching we knew has always been the solid piece of this team, and now they have the complementing pieces. I mean, the defense has been better. The base running has been so much better and created opportunity. And the offense has been consistent. They're scoring runs. And, you know, you look at Harrison Bader and the emergence of him. You know, he's hitting .286, I think it is, and just a spark defensively on the bases. And that's what, you know, the void that they were missing, that consistent bat in there. And I think Dexter Fowler, we were hoping he was going to be that guy that would hit around that .280 and do those things. And he just didn't do it this year. And there was a big gap there. And Bader has filled it in. And Matt Carpenter's been the hottest player on the planet, and you know, they're starting to be able to win games other ways than just starting pitching.
Well, but you have to talk about the starting pitching, particularly Miles Michaelis, who's now 13-3 on the season after delivering another quality start, allowing just one run on a Travis Shaw home run, but going six innings to put his team yet in a position to win again.
No, it's kind of boring talking about Miles Michaelis. It's the same thing every time. You know, he goes six innings, strikes out seven, walks one here, gives up. He did give up a solo home run. We're going to have to work on that. But, I mean, my goodness, this guy has been unbelievable all year long. Has not had – I mean, if he had a bad start, that was it. It hasn't been a streak of, you know, bad starts or even mediocre starts. I mean, this guy has been solid all year long, and what a story that is. And, you know, the starting pitching has been so good all year. There hasn't been a lapse in starting pitching, and they've held up all year. And if they can continue to do what they're doing now, and this team has a lot of potential.
Yeah, certainly does. You know, and you look certainly at the future too. Okay, so Adam Wainwright is trying to make his way back to this level. You also look at Michael Wacha beginning a rehab stint. This is a team that pretty soon is going to get three veterans back off of the DL as you move to September and expanded rosters. And then the question becomes, you know, when you get the likes, we know Martinez goes to the bullpen probably most likely this week in Milwaukee. And then when Walker comes back, if Wainwright comes back, what do you do with those guys?
Well, that's what you're going to have to figure out. Where do they fit? You know, you obviously don't want to disrupt the flow of this team and what they're doing. And the nice thing is that rosters expand in September, and, you know, you're not having to make a roster decision. It's just, where do they plug in? And to be honest with you, you get to this point, those guys understand it as hard as it is, and I've been in that situation where you're fighting to come back and be healthy and you want to contribute, but you don't want to get in the way. I mean, if the guys are going good, that's fine, but it never hurts to have options, especially in September, especially as a lot of these young guys are getting into territory they haven't been in before. They haven't pitched in September. They haven't had the length of a full major league season and all the mental stress and physical stress that comes with that. And so it's nice to have those options, especially in a Michael Wacha, you know, who was pitching really well, and Adam Wainwright, who has pretty much done everything in this game.
Kyle, the other thing that comes into play, too, at this time of the year is that players, even though we're beyond the trading deadline, become available. And as you look at this Cardinal roster, and yeah, they're rolling right now, but is there something that maybe another piece that you could add that would even help this team even further? I don't know, maybe, you know, a left-handed hitting corner infielder? I don't know.
Yeah, that's usually, this time of year with a team like the Cardinals that are playing well, I mean, you might be able to add a guy that could give you some thump off the bench, or, you know, maybe a small piece that kind of goes unnoticed that could really play a big role down the stretch or in the postseason. But, you know, when you look at the bullpen, I think they're really good there, but they're inexperienced, you know. So if the right guy is available and you can bring him in, and, you know, maybe a left-handed guy that can get some outs and bring some more better presence to that bullpen and help those guys, you know, you can do it. It's just got to be the right guy. You're not going to add a piece to add it, but if they think there's a little deficiency there in their roster, then, you know, look, when they were at the deadline, they weren't thinking they were going to be in the postseason most likely. And now you're there. If you can add a piece that's going to complement this, then you go out and do it.
John Gant goes today 5-4 on the season. And isn't it interesting? He's 5-4, has been really pretty good, but yet mm-hmm. we haven't talked about him very much, have we?
No, he's been overlooked. And that's been the whole year. He's done a really nice job, and he's done it ever since he's been with the Cardinals, since that trade. You know, he has done whatever they've asked, filled in a big role in the bullpen. You know, last year kind of being that long guy, pitching, you know, starting here and there. And then this year got the opportunity and has done a really nice job. He's been a big piece of this team. And he's kind of gone, you know, not talked about because a lot of these other guys are the big prospects coming up and have a huge ceiling. But John Gant, he's done a great job. And if it wasn't for him, they would have a big gap in there because he's filled in some big important innings and starts as well.
Last time out, went 5 1/3 against the Nationals, also hit a 2-run homer on Tuesday. Hey, Kyle, thank you for your time. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Mike.
That is Kyle McClellan, brought to you each and every week by Ameren of Illinois, a smart thermostat. Gets you cash back and can save you up to 15% on your energy bill. Energy savings made easy. Ameren of Illinois. Patrick Risch from Wash U joins me next on Sports on a Sunday on my favorite news radio, 1120 KMOX.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It is 1117 in St. Louis. Coming up at 1220, our pregame coverage of Cardinal baseball begins with the Ameren pregame show with Alex Ferrario as the Redbirds look for the sweep against the Milwaukee Brewers. John Gant will take the mound. Coming up in our next segment, we'll visit with the president of baseball operations as John Mozeliak will join us still to come. A conversation with Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports to talk college football. Dr. Patrick Risch is a frequent contributor to CNBC. He also is the director of the sports business program at Washington University and the author of a new book, They Shoot, They Score. He's kind enough to spend his Sunday morning with us here on KMOX. How are you, Patrick?
I'm great, Mike, and I'm excited not only for the PCA that we just held, but I'm excited about this great streak the Cardinals are on.
Yeah, it's terrific. We're going to talk about both those, but first, tell me about the book.
Sure, and I appreciate you giving me a moment to talk about it. They Shoot, They Score, Lessons in Leadership, Innovation, and Strategy from the Business of Sports. Folks can find it at Amazon, at Apple iBooks. You know, what I did, Mike, was at the beginning of this year, I began interviewing several sports executives. I ended up compiling 50 interviews with people like Joe Lacob, the owner of the Golden State Warriors, who's the benefactor of our program at Wash U, Mark Cuban, team president of the Vegas Golden Knights, what a story they had, Kerry Bulbas, and then, of course, some local guys like Mark Schreiber from the Sports Commission, Chris Zimmerman from the Blues, Dan Farrell from the Cardinals. And my motivation was, several fold. Number one, there's a lot of kids out there that want to get into sports. This is a great read, a great learning tool. But also for older folks that are just fans of sport or fans of business, I think there's a lot of inspirational, motivational messages in this book about how people get things done. It just so happens they get things done in this industry. So again, They Shoot, They Score. You can find it on Amazon, Apple iBooks, and I'm really proud of the product.
Give me an economic note that you learned through the course of your research that you didn't know going in.
Well, one of the things that I learned was just simply the importance of planning and organization and structure. I go back to the interview I had with Kerry Bulbus. Also, Mike, what's going on in the food and beverage industry, where the Atlanta Falcons set the tone last year. They offered cheap food and beverage prices, one of the few times you ever saw it, and had tremendous success. And now we've seen some other teams, the Baltimore Ravens, the Detroit Lions, have now copycatted that. It could be soon that we might be seeing cheaper prices at Busch Stadium and at Enterprise Center. We'll wait and see for that.
Yeah, we certainly will. Okay, so the PGA Championship was a huge success last week at Belrive, the 100th playing of the championship. By any imagination, any component, It was a terrific success. Shattered ticket sales, shattered records for merchandise sales. Ratings were off the charts. What do you think overall when you look at it, the economic impact to our region is going to be?
Well, the impact in the short term and the long term are two slightly different things. In the
Correct.
Short term, my estimate, again, I didn't do a formal study, but my estimate would be somewhere between $60 and $80 million in economic impact from that event. That's based in part on not only the fact that I did a study for the SEC men's basketball tournament in March was about $16 million in impact, but I've also done studies for the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup in the past. So those are much more comparable to the PGA Championship that we just had. So, but long term, Mike, the fact that we showed ourselves so well in putting on this event, we did the best we could given all the circumstances. I think the course probably played a little bit easier than they hoped, but that was more weather related than anything else. The crowds were great. The organizers were great. Everything from the broadcasters, from the Golf Channel, CBS, and the players. When you have people like that singing your praises, it not only helps your chances of getting another major golf tournament in the future, whether it's another PGA, dare I dream, a Ryder Cup at some point in the next 10 or 15 years, but it just reinforces to any sports property holder out there that when it comes to sports, St. Louis does a great job of presenting, organizing, and representing those events.
How about the impact it might have on other events outside of the world of sports? I would think that because of the success, because of how everyone enjoyed themselves, that it changes the dialogue a bit in the way that our city's viewed.
Well, you hope so, and I think that's part of the reason why you bring all these events, to hopefully change some people's minds and shape impressions. I think there's been a heavy weight on the shoulders of St. Louis, not just from losing the Rams, not getting a favorable vote on the soccer stadium, but some of these other non-sports related issues that have really, in some cases, given a black eye to St. Louis. Frustratingly so. I'm actually in New York State right now near Canada, and people that have never been to St. Louis, unfortunately, they have this stigma because of what they read in the national news from some of the non-sports related stories from the last few years. But every time we can host an event like this and show well, it's one extra little thing we can do to change those impressions.
Yeah, we both agree that this region needed to win, and certainly that provided that. Patrick Risch is the director of the sports business program at Washington University. He's also the author of the book, They Shoot, They Score. Brooks Koepka has won three of the last five majors in which he's competed in, but yet he is not someone that you see on a regular basis in terms of any type of advertising initiatives taken on by whether it be, golf ball makers or clubs or certainly apparel or things like that. Why?
Well, in my view, I've likened it, since we're a baseball town, I've likened it to he's the Mike Trout of golf. Mike Trout is an unbelievable baseball player. No one would dispute that. And though he has some sponsorships himself, he could probably do more if A, he had the personality for it, and B, he actually desired it. Mike Trout's agent actually is a friend of Washington University. His son goes to our school, and he's been a guest speaker. And part of it on Mike's part is he just doesn't want it.
Right.
He wants to focus on his game. Well, from what I've seen so far from Brooks Koepka. As you mentioned, he's won three major championships. There's never been a golfer that's not been inducted into the Golf Hall of Fame eventually who's won at least three majors. So this guy has already done something historic, and he's got a good look, got a good smile, great physique, but he's got to want it, and he's got to have that personality off the course, and I just haven't seen it, Mike. So, you know, here's a guy that, again, if he wants it, he might need some image coaching to try to change how he's viewed and try to get some of it. You look at Ricky Fowler. Mm-hmm. You look at Tommy Fleetwood from England. They call him Fairway Jesus. Well, I love that nickname because of his hair and the way he looks. I mean, there's some guys out there, Mike, that when they win their first one, I mean, those guys are already doing well in endorsements, better than Koepka. They'll even be propelled further. But yeah, look, I wouldn't tell this to Brooks's face because he probably would look like he could beat me up in a heartbeat. But there's no question that this guy, it's either a question of he doesn't want to pursue that and focus on his game, or maybe he just doesn't have that personality and it factor to attract those sponsorships.
Finally, let me end with this. The college football season begins in less than 2 weeks. The first weekend, obviously coming up, the first weekend of September, college football begins. Actually, the Thursday night before, the 30th, is the first game of the year. The television contracts are coming up in the very near future. Is it 21 or 20? I can't remember exactly the date. Maybe you know. My question is how do you think those might change?
Well, that's a great question because you've seen attendances dwindle. You've seen ratings dwindle as it relates to college football and college basketball for that matter. And on the one hand, if it were just the old networks that have been bidding on these events for the last 30, 40 years, then maybe you might see a holding of the line or maybe a reduction. But what people are speculating is that now maybe the YouTubes of the world could potentially be that extra competitor that if they're trying to get that business, and they've got deeper pockets, by the way, than the networks, then that could actually boost rights fees even more. Crazy as though it seems, it could boost those fees even more. So it really depends, in my opinion, Mike, on just how badly do those dot-coms and the YouTubes of the world want to get into the picture.
Okay, so then that brings one last thing that I have to ask. The Facebook experiment with Major League Baseball, good or bad?
I think it's good because baseball, as we know, has lost younger fans, mm-hmm. Comparatively speaking. You've got to go where the fans are. People are consuming sport far differently today than ever before. You've got to go to where the fans are. So I give kudos to baseball for at least trying to be innovative and bringing the younger crowd back.
Dr. Patrick Risch, the director of sports business program at Washington University. He's the author of the book They Shoot, They Score, available Amazon, Apple.com. You can also go to patrickrisch.com/theyshootthescore. Thank you for your time today. It's always insightful.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care. That is Dr. Patrick Risch. I'm Mike Kelly. John Mozeliak joins me next.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We'll talk college football with Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports coming up in our next segment, 12:20. Our coverage of Cardinal baseball begins with the Ameren pregame show. The president of baseball operations for the Redbirds is John Mozeliak. He joins us each and every week here in this time slot. Good morning. How are you, Mo?
I'm doing well, Mike, and you?
Well, I'm doing terrific. The team's won 10 of its last 11, 19-29. You're just kind of chilling right now, aren't you?
I wish it were that simple, but it's obviously exciting times here at the ballpark. And, you know, most importantly, and we've talked about this for years when we do the Sunday program, is about just having that product people are proud of. And, you know, there's no doubt over the last couple of years it hasn't met expectations. And then to think back to the changes we've made and to be able to start to see some light at the end of this tunnel, it's encouraging. It's exciting, and it's fun to watch.
The talented Jennifer Langosh is reporting this morning that Luke Weaver is going to move to the bullpen and that Daniel Ponce de Leon will get the start on Tuesday.
Yes. I think we're just trying to sort of feel out our rotation right now to some extent, and obviously still have very, very high hopes for Luke. In a way, it's going to allow him to just take a brief time out, if you will. And I wouldn't rule out him starting again this season. But, you know, given the last few starts, the trend line has not been where we wanted to see it. And, ultimately, we're going to have to make some roster moves this week. And so, you know, we're just trying to set ourselves up to to allow us to create some room, some flexibility, and in doing so, after speaking with Mike Schilt, Mad Dog, and Gersh, they just felt like this was the time to try to do this, and we'll see what we get.
Okay, so let's talk about what's going to, you know, predicate some of those moves. Obviously, Carlos Martinez is set to come off of the DL. Is that indeed going to happen in Los Angeles?
I would say that's where it's pointing. Obviously, he's expected to throw today, see how he feels tomorrow, and then decision would be made Tuesday or Wednesday.
And then the decision has been made when he returns that he will be in the bullpen. Talk about the factors that went into that decision.
Well, when you look back at his season, and obviously there's been a couple DL stints, there's been some fatigue issues, we really felt like what's in his best interest for the remaining part of the year would be to be used in shorter stints. And obviously, if you're doing that in the rotation, that's very difficult. So ultimately, we'll put him in more higher leverage situations in the bullpen, and you know, hopefully we can catch a little lightning in the bottle when you remember he first came up.
Jairo Munoz also is a guy that slated to come off the DL soon. When do you anticipate that happening?
Well, he's expected to play 7 innings today down in Springfield, depending on how that goes. Reevaluate tomorrow. Again, could be potentially a Tuesday move.
Okay. And then Michael Wacha, of course, out since June the 20th, starts on Tuesday in Jupiter. Is that the plan?
That is the plan. You know, I would say right now that this one's going to have to take a little more time because we are going to try to stretch him out. Mm-hmm. And so we need to get him to, you know, that 90-pitch mark before we could think about activating him. Had his first outing the other night, clearly you know, knocking the rust off. But as you look at the future, now he'll be going every fifth day, and hopefully by the time we get to early September, he's someone that maybe we can contribute to our rotation.
What are the reports that you're getting back on Adam Wainwright?
You know, they've been very positive. A couple things. One is, I think there's two key indicators that we're looking at. One is really just arm strength, his ability to get the velocity up into the low 90s, which he has been able to do. And B is, how does he feel the following day? Because when you look back at last season and spring training and the early part of this year, the ability to feel better after you pitch was something that just wasn't quite there. That's why we're using him in shorter stints, obviously 30-pitch max type, and then ultimately see how he feels. But you know, I would still point to early September based on how things look.
Would you anticipate that if he returns, when he returns, it would be in a bullpen type role?
I would imagine. We're not trying to stretch him out at this point, yes.
Okay, so then the other thing, I want to talk a little bit about just, you know, where we are in terms of the calendar. Obviously, mid-August, September, and expanded rosters just around the corner. It is not uncommon, as you know, for guys to be picked up, teams making moves at this stage of the game, trying to give that last push towards postseason. We haven't seen much happen, though. Does that surprise you?
Not really. I mean, every team has their own sort of situation, and there's still time to do that. I think, you know, people are still looking at waivers and trying to understand what makes the most sense. But, you know, for us, candidly, we have a roster issues. You know, even if we were to start, you know, placing claims and making moves, I think, like, you know, we'd have some really hard questions to answer. So it's not to say we won't still look or still try, but, you know, I think when you're looking at the landscape, a lot of teams feel pretty good about where they are, and other teams are trying to probably improve. But when you are in first or second place in your division, you're not getting first crack at waivers.
That's true. Bader and in his performance, we've known that he's been a plus player from a defensive standpoint. Now he's starting to obviously produce at the plate as well. Just an evaluation of what you've seen from him this season.
Well, you know, I've always been a big advocate for Harrison Bader, and I think, you know, people are starting to realize why we made the move at the trading deadline. He's an exciting player. He brings an element to our club that I think is something you don't see every day, and that's just speed. So you combine speed, defense, and his ability to make contact at the plate. He's just an exciting player to watch. And, you know, I couldn't be more happy for him. You know, the day that we moved Tommy Pham, I sent him a text in that morning saying, like, here's your opportunity. And, you know, his response to me is he's going to make the most of it. And he's absolutely done that. And so couldn't be more happy for him. Couldn't be more happy for us. And, you know, clearly he's made a very, very positive impact on this club.
How about O'Neill?
O'Neill, I think, you know, the one thing I feel, you know, that he's got to get through is you know, he started to show a little bit of that step forward. And then, of course, he had the injury, which was a little bit of a setback. But trying to get him at bats, trying to see what he can do. But clearly, as you look at these outfielders, and you know, clearly what Bader's done is, I think it's given all of us confidence that he could be our center fielder next year for sure. I don't think there's any debate there. But what O'Neill needs to do is sort of give us some direction of where we think we can see him next year. And so I'm still hopeful that we're going to see the things that he's been able to accomplish at AAA here. But in my mind, he's still a big talent, and he has that type of raw power that is just hard to find.
Talked a little bit about this with Mike Schilt last hour. Just the consecutive games that Yadier has played. He'll start his 27th consecutive game behind the plate this afternoon. If you look at the body of work between he and Matt Carpenter, who have meant so much to this team as they put together this terrific month of August, and then also the job that they've done since Mike Schilt has taken over, collectively, though, they're 5-for-48 at the plate. Mike points to, yeah, but they're hitting the ball hard. You know, Yadi could have had a couple of home runs. I guess my question is are you surprised, given his age, just how he continues to show up each and every day trying to make an impact on this team? I mean, it, to me, it's remarkable to see the durability that he has, I guess, is the short-winded point.
That wasn't short.
Well, it wasn't short.
For like 2.5 minutes. I have a couple thoughts on that.
You have the ability to go. Now.
Well, you're interviewing me, yes. So, you know, a lot of people talk about, like, you know, should Yadi sit? Are we overplaying him? There's a couple of things I think, you know, people have to realize. One is Yadi probably wants to win more than any other player I've ever been around. And he feels he being in there can help navigate a pitcher to that success or allow him to have more success because he's in there. I think a lot of people sort of gravitate to, where is Yadi offensively? Is he tiring because of these consecutive days? Is it affecting him offensively? And the answer is probably yes. But again, that's not the sole value of why Yadi's catching. And the other point of this is Yadi wants to play every day. We've all been around this game a long time, where there are players that have no problem tapping out on a day game following a night game, mm-hmm, or a long road trip. This guy is a baseball player. This guy understands why he signed up for this. He gets it. And I think, like, rather than try to have this great debate of overuse or is he hurting the club, if we thought he was hurting the club, he wouldn't be playing. But he's not. And so I think the bigger thing for me is my admiration for, A, his willingness to play, and, B, his preparation so he can play. And that's what's going to make him, in the end, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I clumsily made the point, but the point that I was trying to make, and again, long-winded, I admit, is just how much I marvel in the durability.
Well, but my point to you is, and to your audience, is the fact that people don't see how he prepares.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people think that players wake up in the morning, go to lunch, show up at 2, play at 7, rinse and repeat. No, Yadi's at the gym early in the morning, and he does it every single day. So when he gets to the ballpark, and so when he goes out at 7:15 to play, he's ready. He's physically ready. He's mentally ready. And not every player can do that, but he's an outlier. But that's what special players, that's what Hall of Fame players do, and he's unique.
Finally, just give me an evaluation of what you've seen from Tyson Ross since the acquisition.
Well, he's done two things for us. He gives us protection for innings out of the pen, and obviously he had a spot start last Sunday, and he stepped up big for us. So impressions have been great. And to your earlier question about waiver claims, that's what he was. And so, you know, he was someone that, when you look at all the moves we've had, especially when we hit the reset button for our bullpen, all of a sudden, you know, Dakota Hudson, Ponce de Leon, those guys how we use them changes how we think once we added someone like Tyson Ross, which gives us a little protection because, needless to say, we've started to thin out our core at AAA because of these moves.
I have to ask you this as we close. Which do you enjoy better, Sundays with Mike or Mondays with Dan?
Sundays with Mike or Mondays with Dan? I think Dan pays better.
Oh,
but fair
point, my friend.
But my loyalty to KMOX has been much longer than my Mondays with Dan.
Yeah, there you go.
But I do think those Mondays with Dan's are becoming quite popular.
They are very popular, as is the website. And he would be upset if I didn't say scoopswithdannymac.com. Hey, man.
I got to share with you, since you asked it, the awkwardness of that is he's sitting in my office as we're speaking.
Is he? So, yeah, good.
Full transparency.
And I might have told him a couple weeks ago that I was going to ask that question at some point. So,
okay, that's fair.
Hey, have fun. Keep it up. And are you going to Los Angeles? Travel safe if you are.
I'm not. We have our leadership meetings this week, which is really our 2019 planning session. So, busy week.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
President of Baseball Operations for the Cardinals, John Mozeliak. Dennis Dada, CBS, joins me next.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning. On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Hope you enjoyed our conversation with John Mozeliak, the president of the Cardinals. 12:20 is when our coverage of Cardinal baseball begins. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports covers the sport of college football, which begins in less than 2 weeks. Actually, a week from this Thursday, on August the 30th, is the first game of the season. Dennis Dodd, one of only seven members of the media to cover all 16 BCS title games. How about that little note there, Dennis Dodd?
Well, I guess it reflects my age. Let's put it that way.
There you go.
Nothing else.
Hey, you wrote an interesting story that's on CBSSports.com on the integrity of the game of college football. And also, you look into how to fix a college football game. What'd you learn during your process of writing that story?
Well, just that the legal sports landscape and the fact that it is legal now in sports since May in the Supreme Court decision is one of the most, I guess, front burner issue for college officials. They really don't know how to handle it right now. The fact that, you know, the NCAA rules say you can't bet, you know, you can be suspended for a year if you put down a $5 bet, and yet the law says if you're 21, it's legal. And more than that, just how this is going to look. Is it now more likely that we're going to see game fixing, or less likely now that it's above board? And I talked to answer that question, I talked to a former member of the Colombo crime family, Michael Francis, who openly talks about fixing games. He detailed how to do it. College football, he said, is fairly easy. As far as the administrators go, they've been using this buzzword called integrity. They're worried about the integrity of the game. Well, integrity is masking what they're really worried about. And that's what I just said, fixing games, you know, point shaving, stuff like that. But they don't want to say it out loud because they can't even get their minds around it. What does that even mean?
Yeah. Buffalo Wild Wings obviously is a restaurant that spends considerable dollars promoting itself in the college arena. It's also considering allowing gambling at every one of its locations. It serves as the host for a number of different college coaches' call-in shows. Is there an optics issue there if that does indeed happen?
It's a corporate partner of the NCAA. You'll see a lot of it in March during the tournament, too. Yeah, I think that's everything that has to be considered. Does the NCAA put the hammer down on these guys? Since it's legal, do they not do it? I think more companies are going to do it. There's so many tentacles to this thing. You know, in the UK, Mike, you know, you can bet on prop bets during the game live as they happen. On soccer. Now, you might think, what the heck kind of prop bets can you get in soccer? But people will weigh in on how a corner kick turns out, or, you know, who's going to be substituted first, or stuff like that. That is coming to not only pro football, but college football. There will be companies that will be putting machines inside of stadiums so people can do this. It's just a question of how college athletics reacts to it.
Big Ten has two coaches on administrative leave as we speak. Urban Meyer, of course, at Ohio State, and DJ Durkin at Maryland. There's been some really good reporting by Brett McMurphy on the Urban Meyer story. The independent counsel, the independent committee that's looking into this is supposed to submit a report that will then be viewed by the the governing body at Ohio State coming up later today, and then, of course, they meet this week. How do you see things unfolding in Columbus?
This is just an opinion. I don't have any inside knowledge. I think there's a way for Urban Meyer to be back on the field. I think it's a suspension of some kind, you know, 2 or 4 games. I just see it trending that way. They put a two-week time limit on this investigation as if there's a shot clock on something as heinous as this. And then you get the report Friday from Brett McMurphy again that Zach Smith, this assistant coach, was ordering sex toys within the office. Well, does Urban Meyer have to be called in and ask, you know, different questions? Did you know this was happening? Did you know Zach Smith was allegedly having sex in the office? So it's really, really a bad look. At a school, by the way, that has already fired 2 Hall of Fame coaches, Woody Hayes and Jim Tressel. So the precedent is there. Modern college athletics being what they are, which is the winning percentage usually trumps everything, I think he's back on the field.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to that word integrity.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how much does that matter to the to those that are making the decision? That's
well,
something
we're,
to consider.
Yeah, Mike, we're way past that. Yeah. When, you know, when we've had 3 players die since June 13th, the NCAA settled a lawsuit for a kid at a Division III school a few years ago who the assistant coach told him why he was laying on the ground dying, get up, you blankety blank, because he had been allowed to go out on the field after suffering a concussion. So, and real quick, the NCAA in its court filing said these words: "We are not legally responsible for the medical health of these students." That's where we are in college athletics right now.
DJ Durkin, again, how do you see that playing out?
I think he's gone. I think there's a good chance both the athletic director, Damon Evans, and the president, Wallace Lowe, are gone too. We're talking about the death of Jordan McNair on June 13th, who was, because of the reporting of ESPN, apparently was being made to complete gassers or 110s while he physically wasn't able to stand up. And you saw some of that from the press conference last week by Wallace Lowe. Great move by them, throwing themselves on the court of public opinion, but it took them 62 days and the ESPN report to admit liability. They're going to have to write a big check to Jordan McNair's family. I suspect that they're having a further investigation of DJ Durkin so they can find a way to fire him with cause so they don't have to pay any more money, but it's been a complete disaster at Maryland.
This quote from the athletic trainer at Oklahoma, Scott Anderson, on college football player deaths. I'm kind of wondering what body count we're waiting for before we take action.
Yeah, Scott's a friend, and he's given that quote to me before. He's an active advocate for this. I mean, look, players shouldn't be dying. Let's you know, get it out in the open and state the obvious. They're mostly dying, Mike, since the year 2000. I think there have been 33 of them. The overwhelming majority are dying in shorts and T-shirts during the off-season. Not hitting heads, not playing in games, not practicing in shorts and T-shirts. I call it that point after January, after the champ games in January and February. I've written about it and called it the killing season. Because go back and look at the numbers. A lot of kids are dying when they're just doing stupid drills. We've got to get rid of the punitive exercises and drills these football players go to and make it all performance-based. As we saw at Maryland, it's not.
Hey, Dennis, thanks for your time. These topics more important than the wins and losses that we'll start keeping track of in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Mike.
That is Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports, who joins us here on Sports on a Sunday. Our thanks to John Mozeliak, as well as Patrick Risch, Kyle McClellan, Mike Schilt, and Curtis Francois, who joined us this morning here on Sports on a Sunday. Coming up here on KMOX, beginning at 12:20, it's the Ameren Total Access pregame show. Alex Ferrario will have it. 1:15, the first pitch, Cardinals and the Brewers from Busch Stadium. The Missouri Lottery Clubhouse Show follows the game. Charlie Brennan with KMOX profiles at 5. Ryan Recker will have a profile at 6. Nothing Impossible at 7. Meet the Press at 8. Sterling on Sunday comes your way at 9. I'm Mike Kelly. Our thanks to James O'Sullivan, our board operator and producer this morning. Have a terrific rest of your weekend and hope you enjoy Cardinal baseball right here on my favorite radio station, News Radio 1120 KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.